Thanks for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio. We're in the studio with Miss Tara and Adriana and myself, Sandy. And we're on Philippians 1, kind of 21 through 30. And we just talked last time about how Jesus gives us a passion and a desire and a purpose in life. And we just need to listen to our hearts because he's speaking to us all the time.
That's so good. So we ended last time looking at the purpose that he gives us is to lead, to encourage, and to strengthen, because emphasizing that he's saying to live is our gain. So let's go through and let's read the verses again, and we will go to the next thing. You want to read it this time?
Sure, I can.
Go ahead.
So Philippians 1, 21 through 30. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and for your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life also be worthy, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and of that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have.
I really love it. Every time that I listen to it, I see another part. It's like, oh, we need to talk about that. I'm like, no, we got to wait. We're not there yet. I'm like, oh, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
It's like so many good pieces. All right. So last time, what we had ended on, and we were in the middle of, and we didn't finish, is we're looking at what does it mean to live as Christ is gain. And so we were going through and listing out the different things. So the first two we gave was Christ gives life, and then he gives purpose. The third one that came up was that Christ feeds the soul and awakens the spirit. Now, think about the importance of that, of when we are interacting with someone. I was sharing the example of somebody that I was speaking to, witnessing to in Guatemala, and figuring out what aspect of that person is soul hungry. Where are they hungry in their soul? And then finding a way to awaken the spirit to show them that that need can be met. And so one of the things that I had told this lady, I'm trying really hard not to say her name just because of respect, was that God has given each person a God-sized hole in their heart. And that the reason why we can't find comfort is because we're filling our hole with all kinds of things, and it's not God. And that if we want that part of us to be awakened, the spirit, we have to use the Lord. It has to be Jesus to fill that. And just the expression on her face and her jaw kind of dropped. And you could tell, like, she's listening. She's like, well, I'm glad that works for you. She totally, like, did a shift. And instead of, you know, that's not for me, to, okay, wow, like, I can recognize that really has worked for you. And so you could see that she was seeing, like, an awakening happen in her soul.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I see there when you're saying that is, you talked about everybody praying, the power of prayer.
Completely.
In that, yeah. Right there. You know, it's all about prayer, and it's all about Jesus opening her heart.
Completely. And so trying to find a way to figure out how I can feed the soul so that the spirit's awakened. And so that's the next one. The fourth one was Christ can... continues life and he gives it joy. We had said that he gives us eternal life, but here on this earth, it's not just the eternal life, it's right now. He gives us life right now. And as Adriana talked on the last show, so that we can walk in joy. And as Sandy has said, despite our circumstances, mm-hmm. joy can be a part of what is hard,
right?
Really hard. And walking in that. The next one was is that Christ gives inspiration. He is who inspires us, but he is also the one that gives us reason for preparation. And so if I don't have an eternal perspective, I'm not really necessarily inspired in what I'm doing on this earth, and I'm definitely not in preparation for what could be. It's almost puts you in a fatalist mentality. And so the grieving process is really hard. And in the case of this lady, what happened in Belgium,
she was grieving.
Well, it wasn't, it's like it was despondent. I mean, I can't even explain. Like, I couldn't, to get past where she was at, like, she couldn't. It's just all evil, and it's over, because that this is all there is. So there's no hope in it. And we want to be where we can bring people to that place of hope. And so hope gives us the inspiration. But because of hope, it gives us preparation as well. It's so good. It's like a really thoughtful one to think on. One commentator said, to live in Christ is both the spirit and living. It was Barclay is the one that said this. The spirit of God and the spirit of Christ are interchangeable. And he gave Romans 8, 9 through 10. Dee, why don't you go ahead and read that to us?
Okay. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness.
Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. So it's showing the interchangeability of Christ and God in us, and that life that he gives us, and the hope that that provides, which then the hope feeds the joy, and which is then what enables us to awaken the spirit of those around us. It's like, ugh, so good. Okay, so the next part is we're going to look at what fruitful labor implies. Like, if I'm going to be fruitful, what does that look like? And David Guzik is the one that I pulled this one from, because it was just really good. And he said that God intended Paul to be fruitful. Paul makes that very clear. Mm-hmm. And so what can we imply? If God intended Paul to be fruitful as a believer, what can we imply about us?
We're supposed to be fruitful.
Yep.
Okay. What can the people of Philippi assume?
Same.
They're to be fruitful. Part of God's purpose, when we said last week that God gives a purpose through Christ, is that in his purpose, his plan, he intends it to be fruitful. And this is where we really need to think. Because a lot of times what happens in Christ is people will say, oh, well, I came to know Jesus, you know, when I was, let's say, 12. And yet, multiple times when I've asked somebody, tell me something you've done that has borne fruit to show. And if somebody cannot demonstrate and show how fruit has been born in them of God, then the question would be is, do they really have Christ in them? Because we will bear the fruit of what's born inside us. The seed must die. The issue is are we willing to do the dying that Paul's talking about, which we'll get to, because that's also, again, we have to die to self in order to have the spiritual thing. And so fruitfulness is a part of God's plan. We better be a fruit bearer. A faithful believer, the next point is obviously then, a faithful believer will bear fruit. And he uses the word faithful to emphasize it. So I guess the implication he has is that you could be a believer and not have fruit, but maybe a dormant tree. There are some trees that take 7 years.
Yeah.
There are apple trees that take 7 years. And so I guess it's a possibility. And then he makes the last point. He says, it is not good if you are not bearing fruit. It's kind of self-evident, but you know, we need to think on that. And I think sometimes we forget that. And when we have the mindset, okay, what does it mean to live as Christ is gain? And having that be a part of us, then that will give us the cause to think through those things. Do you guys have any comments on that? You're just kind of listening.
We are.
It makes sense and all that.
So. Yeah.
Okay. So then we're going to ask the next question. Why is dying gain?
We get to be with Jesus.
All right.
It's a blessing. You see the whole complete everything.
And I mean, not even wanting to sin anymore. I mean, just imagine how awesome that would be.
I know.
What about temptation?
it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Sin's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yep. That's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah, it's the only time it's going to be gone. So.
I know. It's good. It's good. Death also, so you guys have listed them off very well. Okay, death is not defeat, but gain. All right? And then death is the cause of Christ. It glorifies Jesus when we go to be with him. It means immediate presence.
I love that.
Absent from the body is present with the Lord.
That is one of my favorite verses in the Bible.
Yeah. Is it?
It is. Just because that right there just makes you smile.
Oh, Sandy, that's beautiful. Oh. Guzik wrote this. This is pretty profound. I may have to read it twice because I think I had to read it three times. Guzik points out that Paul's present gain defeats the idea of soul sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is a teaching that is current, traditionally going on, like right now. He says this is a false teaching that suggests that there's some kind of suspended animation that happens after death until the resurrection. And he said Paul's letter is another proof to the, you know, to die is absence
from the body,
present with the Lord. Let me talk. And is in the presence of Christ. He also says that Paul's reference to present gain also argues against purgatory. Now, for those that may not understand the definition of purgatory, it's the belief that dead must be purified through suffering before coming to the presence of God. And so here, by his point of present gain, he kind of slashes two false teachings. And I think it's interesting because both of these teachings were happening during that time. And we think of them as being current teachings that are, you know, new to us today, which is kind of
nothing funny. New under the sun.
I know. That's Ecclesiastes 1:9. That verse was profound in my life when I heard that one for the first time. So Barclay, he says, death is a union and a reunion.
That's good.
It is a union with Jesus and a reunion with all of our brothers and sisters that went on before us. Sandy's about that dancing.
I'm like, oh, yes. Good to see my hubby.
That's sweet. Spurgeon says, when men fear death, it is not certain that they are wicked, but it is quite certain that if they have faith, it is very weak in a sickly condition.
That's good.
I know. It's very profound.
You know, I had a brother that committed suicide, and I don't know if I've ever shared that.
I don't think on the radio, but I knew that.
It makes me sad, you know, because I don't know where he is.
You don't
know. And that makes me want to cry because I don't know.
Did he ever profess Christ?
No, not that I'm aware of, you know.
Yeah. And that gets hard.
It does get hard. It hurts.
One of my students had a grandparent pass away that doesn't know the Lord, and it's just hard. When you want so much for somebody to know Jesus.
And my parents were the same way. But you know what? I knew that people were reaching out. So it's always my hope that they'll be there. Yeah. I don't know.
We don't.
But my brother did accept. And he just passed away.
Other brother.
My other brother that just passed away in December. He accepted Christ. So I'm really excited about that one.
That's wonderful.
Because I witnessed to him a lot.
That's good. And it's important because you're sharing the Lord and the gospel. It's good.
It is good.
Ironically, and Sandy did not know this, the next thing I wrote down are the reasons why people want to die. Because what happens when people read this verse if they are suicidal or if they have mental illness or if they're depressed or despondent? If to die is gain, then why might I stay?
Yeah.
They're reading it wrong. Happens.
Yep.
Right. So some of the reasons that people want to choose to die that are not necessarily the right reasons, okay? Somebody can be gripped by gloom and darkness. They can have the suicidal thoughts, depression, mental illness, okay? They can be tired and weary of the world, of cruelty. So death seems better and death seems easier. Death seems convenient, okay? Suffering because of a crisis, of despair, defeat. These are all reasons that somebody may say to die is gain, but it's from the wrong perspective. That's not the biblical world, right?
Yeah.
It's not the biblical worldview that we should have. Whereas Paul's reasons for wanting to die, let's get the flip side. Paul says heaven, by implication of the things that he's teaching, heaven is fulfillment. It is the fulfillment of Christ. His very presence is being fulfilled for us. Heaven means finally done with sin mm-hmm. and temptation, going over what you guys were just saying a few minutes ago. Heaven holds our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. that have gone on before us. Heaven means we get to be with Jesus, and heaven means we're closer to Jesus as never before. And so you too were actually giving the list that I had prepared, and they didn't know that that was like a part of what I had already gone through. And so thinking through that to die is gain. Early on when the first recording, Sandy, you said living is a win and dying is a win when we're a believer. And that's truth. It's not a win-win if somebody's not a believer.
Right.
And so recognizing that, Paul sees that, and so he recognizes that if he stays, it's for their benefit, how he's going to benefit the people of Philippi or the people of Ephesus or of Colossae, all the people he's trying to reach. Mm-hmm. And yet he recognizes that if he dies, he gets to be with the Lord. And so wanting them to be encouraged and strengthened, knowing that if he is executed tomorrow, and the letter is in transit to see them, it's okay. Mm-hmm. That's what he's trying to convey. He's trying to give them something to hold on to give them a hope. And in that, it gives them purpose. Mm-hmm. And so that encouragement, it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of interesting because through this entire passage, you can see that Paul's heart isn't like, oh yeah, it would be wonderful to just be able to die and go see Jesus and all that. That isn't where his heart is. His heart is like, okay, for me, like we forget about the first part of the verse, for me to live is Christ. And it's basically just saying, okay, this is where your focus should be, on serving Christ, whether it's here or mm-hmm. in heaven, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, little off topic, but.
No, it is good. That's very good.
That is good.
It is very encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. I mean, how many say, yeah, let's suffer. But it's different when you know that your suffering is going to honor God.
Because
it has a purpose for the suffering then.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
When we recognize that we are leading, we're strengthening, and we're encouraging, and that identity of our purpose, it makes the circumstances
bearable.
Right. Not be what they could be. We're able to look beyond who we are and where we're at. And so it transforms the situation because it's having the right perspective.
And the focus where it belongs.
Right. Yeah. Getting it where it needs to be. You need to come back next week because we're going to go into verse 25 and on from this point. God bless.